Good morning. It's April 16th, and this is your daily brief in world news. Here's everything you need to know. In the wake of a recent attack in Damascus, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu is threading the needle with a cautious approach aimed at sending a clear message to Iran, but without causing further casualties. This strategy reflects a broader call for restraint from the international community, highlighting the tightrope of diplomacy and military action in a volatile region. The United States, alongside other global allies, is pushing for a non-escalatory approach, urging Israel to slow things down in the face of potential conflict. This sentiment is echoed by the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres and Iraqi Deputy Prime Minister Mohammed Ali Tamim, both of whom have made public calls for de-escalation and restraint from Iran and Israel alike. As Israel prepares for a possible military response to Iran's recent drone and missile attack, it does so with the backing of the United States and other allies. This preparation comes at a time when the European Union and G7 countries are weighing the option of sanctions against Iran, signaling a collective discontent with Tehran's actions. Criticism of the Biden administration's handling of the situation is mounting, with voices like Walt Mossberg calling for a fundamental shift in U.S. policy towards the Middle East. This criticism is particularly focused on the decision to unfreeze $10 billion in Iranian funds, a move that has drawn scrutiny amid the escalating tensions. The unfolding situation underscores the complex interplay of diplomacy, military readiness, and international pressure in addressing the challenges posed by Iran's aggression. In a Manhattan courtroom today, former U.S. President Donald J. Trump entered a not guilty plea to 34 felony charges related to falsifying business records in what's shaping up to be a highly watched hush money trial. This marks a significant moment in U.S. legal history, as Trump faces charges that could potentially make him the first major party nominee to run for president as a convicted felon. The process of jury selection has proven to be a challenge, with many potential jurors expressing bias, slowing down the proceedings. Additionally, Trump's efforts to have the presiding judge step down from the case were rejected, while prosecutors have managed to get evidence admitted that pertains to the alleged falsification of business records. There's also a looming threat of Trump facing contempt charges for possibly violating a gag order. The trial has not only drawn intense media coverage, but has also been divisive among those called for jury duty, reflecting the polarized views of the public. High-profile individuals, including members of Trump's own family and close associates, have been named as potential witnesses, adding another layer of intrigue to the proceedings. With the next hearing set for April 23rd, all eyes are on the courthouse, and live coverage is being provided by Fox News Channel, Fox Business Channel, and Fox News Radio. The outcomes of this trial could have far-reaching implications, not just for Trump, but for the political landscape in the United States. In a significant political shift, Singapore Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong has announced he will step down on May 15, 2024, after 2 decades at the helm. This sets the stage for Deputy Prime Minister Lawrence Wong to take over leadership, marking a new chapter for the nation. Wong, who also serves as finance minister, has received unanimous support from lawmakers and is poised to become the second leader not from the Lee family since Singapore gained independence. He was selected by his peers as the leader of the ruling People's Action Party's 4G team, indicating a collective endorsement of his leadership capabilities. Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong, son of Singapore's founding father, Lee Kuan Yew, has faced criticism for maintaining policies that restrict free media and public dissent. Despite these controversies, under his leadership, Singapore has seen its GDP per capita more than triple, reinforcing its position as a global hub for investment and advanced industries. The People's Action Party, under Lee, retained a supermajority in the 2020 elections, although it was the party's worst performance to date. Lee has named Wong as his successor, aiming for a smooth transition before the next general election, due by November 2025. The transition of power is notably unaffected by the COVID-19 pandemic, with Lee expressing confidence in Wong's ability to secure his own mandate in the upcoming national elections. Wong has outlined plans to introduce reforms, including unemployment assistance and improved infrastructure for seniors, signaling potential shifts in policy direction amidst ongoing concerns over Singapore's governance and human rights record. This leadership change represents a pivotal moment for Singapore as it navigates challenges and opportunities in the years ahead. In a shocking turn of events, Sydney finds itself at the heart of a disturbing incident where a 15-year-old boy has been arrested following a knife attack at an Assyrian church, an act Australian police are treating as terrorism. This attack, which was captured on the church's livestream, shows the bishop being stabbed multiple times in a scene that has rattled the community. The teenager, already known to the police, allegedly made incriminating comments during the attack and had traveled to the church armed with a knife. The violence did not stop at the church doors. It spilled onto the streets, leading to injuries among police officers, damage to vehicles, and the hospitalization of the attacker and a senior priest, both in stable condition. The aftermath saw a large crowd gathering outside the church, their actions escalating to violence and requiring a significant police response involving over 100 officers and 30 vehicles. The situation intensified as items were thrown at the church and police, causing injuries and damage to police cars. Authorities have taken a firm stance, with the teenager now under police guard in the hospital, having undergone surgery for his injuries. He is said to be cooperating with the investigation. The swift designation of the stabbing as a terrorist attack underscores the severity of the incident, prompting the establishment of a separate strike force to investigate the riot and the anticipation of further arrests. The community's response has been one of unity against violence, with the Prime Minister, religious leaders, and local federal member Dai Lei speaking out against violent extremism and calling for calm. The establishment of a joint task force with counter-terrorism police and the scheduling of a National Security Committee meeting highlight the seriousness with which authorities are treating the incident. Amidst calls for increased police resources and unity, the community is urged to support the ongoing investigation by providing any relevant information to the authorities. In a significant gathering in Paris, global donors have stepped up with a pledge of over $2.1 billion in humanitarian aid for Sudan, aiming to mitigate the catastrophic effects of a year-long war that has pushed the nation to the brink of famine. This commitment comes at a critical moment for Sudan, where millions are in desperate need of food, water, and medical supplies. The United Nations has outlined a dire need for $2.7 billion this year alone to assist 24 million people affected by the conflict in Sudan. However, before this summit, the campaign had only received a fraction of this amount, $145 million, highlighting the gap between the needs and the available resources. The European Union's contribution of 900 million euros stands out as a substantial part of the aid effort, signaling strong international support. The toll of the conflict in Sudan is staggering, with over 14,000 deaths, 33,000 injuries, and nearly 9 million people displaced. The country's infrastructure is in ruins, and the population faces widespread hunger and an increase in sexual violence. These challenges underscore the urgency of the international community's call, led by France and the EU, for a ceasefire and unimpeded access for humanitarian aid. Despite being overshadowed by other global events, the crisis in Sudan is acute, with the potential for mass fatalities if the international community does not maintain its support and push for peace. The breakdown in food production and distribution is a critical issue, and the pledged aid aims to address these immediate needs while fostering conditions for a lasting resolution to the conflict. The situation demands coordinated action to not only meet the immediate humanitarian needs, but also to work towards a ceasefire and peace negotiations, as the conflict, now a year old, sees no sign of abating. This has been your daily brief in world news. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with everything you need to know.